Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 140,000 listeners in over 70 countries. We have an incredible show for you today from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. I'll be interviewing Simon Parks live from England. I'll be asking Simon to update us all on current world events. And also, I plan to ask him about his friends, Wen Qi's new monetary system, which he said will be a much better system than we have in the world. Then from about 3 to 3:15 p.m., I'll be interviewing a wonderful lady named Mary Hansen of the group From Hope to Hiroshima, which will be leading a beautiful candlelight prayer ceremony at Green Lake here in Seattle at 6 p.m. August 6th, in memory of all the people who died at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. For more information, please see their website at fromhiroshimatohope.org. On August 6th, 1945, the United States dropped an atomic bomb on the innocent civilians at Hiroshima, dropped by a second atomic bomb on Nagasaki on August 9th, even though the Japanese had made several attempts during that summer of 1945 to settle the war without further bombing. The interview will be followed by Andrew Bashago, Washington State lawyer who says he's traveled to Mars, where he said he met Gary Sotelo, a.k.a. Barack Obama, before he became president in 1990 through a secret U.S. government time travel program. Andy says there's various kinds of living entities on Mars, including hybrid Sasquatch humans, Sasquatch grays, reptilians, insect-like creatures, and an ancient Mars civilization, and he'll have much more to say about that during the second hour. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. And with that, I want to thank my wonderful friends, Faison, Shirley, Megan, and Davey in Florida for their wonderful support and help, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Marco, of course, in Helsinki, Finland, Emma Louise and Jan Eric in Norway, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, my good friend Darren in Olympia, and Rod Shastri in beautiful Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better place. I'd also like to thank the wonderful sponsors of this show, including the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and Orion Tech Computers. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 70 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol for designing my website, and my friends in the Emoto office in Tokyo, Japan, and my friends also in the Galactic Alliance who've been helping me with the show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program for those interested, where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to learn more about getting in touch with your loved ones who passed on or contact your angelic guides, please email me to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or in the United States and Canada, toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. I believe that we're all powerful spiritual creatures, my friends, and I believe that in the power of prayer, and so I'd like to, for everyone listening today, to send lots of love and light to Michiko Hayashi's mother, Masako, who suffered a stroke recently. I know that your love and prayers have really helped her. Also, I want to tell you some good news. My good friend Orion, who was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer about 4 months ago, his cancer is going away. It's about 80 to 90% gone now, and his doctors now say he's going to make a full recovery. And I want to thank you so much for your prayers, because I know it's really helped him, and he thanks you too. I'd also like to ask you to send lots of love and light to my friend Marco's mother, Luisa, who had a stroke recently in Helsinki, Finland, to my good friend Wally in the Olympia area, and as well as Dr. William Mount, a wonderful filmmaker in Lakewood. And also today, I'll ask everyone today to send lots of love and light and condolences to the family of Jim Mars. Jim Mars is a famous American journalist who had the courage to tell the truth. He was one of my speakers at my last Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington in March 2017, and unfortunately he passed away on August 2nd from a heart attack. I'll be having a memorial show on Jim Mars 1 week from today from 3 to 4 p.m. devoted to his work and books. My book, Messages from the Masters, Cosmic Messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, and Dr. Masaru Emoto and the Galactic Alliance is done, finally done. It's been sent to the publishers for printing. Former Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hellyer wrote the foreword, and the book will be available for just $20, which includes free shipping within the United States after August 15th. For other countries, please email me, and for advance orders, please just send me payment to Ted Marr, P.O. Box 5331, Lacey, Washington, 98509-5331, or you can use PayPal with this email address, outofthisworld1150.com. outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The book is all about humanity's beautiful, bright future, as well as what would have happened if Jack Kennedy had lived, coming right from President Kennedy. There are also many messages from Nostradamus and Jack and Bobby Kennedy, as well as Mahatma Gandhi, and Professor Einstein about what our beautiful future is like. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference held in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States earlier this year. Because of its success, I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, at the same location at 9101 Silicon Road in Olympia, Washington, about an hour south of the Seattle airport. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. I also have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week here in the Seattle area on Channel 22 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. And you can also see my episodes on YouTube under either my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. We now have over, I think it's 40 or 45 episodes currently on YouTube, so we've got quite a few episodes on there. Also, too, Scott Lemriel, my good friend who's coming with me to Mount Shasta next month, has produced a very interesting video on the total on this total eclipse that's coming on August 20th. For more information about it, please see Scott's website at www.paralleltime.com and click on upcoming shows, and you'll see his video there. With that, I'd like to mention a few other events, and then we'll go right to Simon Parks in England. From August 18th to the 20th, I'll be in the Dominican Republic speaking at a wonderful conference called the Third World Conference of Peace and Light. Their website is www.paxluxmundi. And I hope you can come to this fantastic event. Speakers include Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project in Tokyo, famous physicist Nassim Harriman, and a famous healer, Bratso, from Croatia. I'll be speaking there as well, and I hope you can come. Then from September 7th through the 12th, I'll be sponsoring another trip to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. Mount Shasta is a very special place. It contains many portals and vortexes, and it's considered the root chakra of the Earth. The ancient Lemurian city of Telos is located approximately 100 miles beneath the mountain, and I'll be taking a group there. Last time, in my last trip to Mount Shasta, 8 people, including myself, actually went into Telos and the Hollow Earth, and it was really an amazing experience. We'll be camping right next to the entrances to Telos and the Hollow Earth. And if you'd like to go, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me again in the United States at 509-750-9793. The cost is just $200 and includes free dry camping right on Mount Shasta, one of the most beautiful places on this planet. Scott Lemriel will also be giving a presentation during this trip, and he'll be telling me that he's bringing his friends from the Galactic Alliance. At least three different spacecraft will be protecting us, he said, and we'll be able to see them at night as well. Michiko Hayashi will also be giving a presentation at the Mount Shasta Library and doing wonderful water ceremony there. And we'll also be meeting Diane Robbins, who's been visiting Telos and the Hollow Earth for decades and who's written many books about her experience. Finally, from October 26th to the 29th, there'll be a wonderful water conference in Sofia, Bulgaria. For information about this conference, the web address is www.waterconf.org. Professor Pollock will be there. He has a fantastic library, but he relies on private donations to support the library. And if you'd like to learn more about his work or support his wonderful laboratory, please send Professor Pollock an email to ghp@u.washington.edu. Jerry, as I like to call him, will also be speaking at the East-West Books here in Seattle tomorrow on Saturday, August 5th at 7 p.m. And if you can go to that event, I know he really appreciate it. Before we go to England to talk to Simon Parks, I'd like to bring in my good friend Charles from the wonderful Crystal Voyage in Tacoma, where they have a wonderful psychic fair tomorrow on Saturday, August 5th and Sunday, August 6th. Charlie, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Ted.
Hi, Charlie. I'm so glad you could come on today. Tell me a little bit about your psychic fair.
Well, the Psychic Intuitive Fair just has a smattering of different practitioners that do anything from psychic reading to Reiki healing. And
okay. Charlie, could you speak up? I'm sorry, my friend.
There's going to be about 12 different people here doing different types of reading. So it should be pretty fantastic.
Isn't that out of this world guy, Ted Marr, going to be there too?
He is. He's going to be there the rest of the year, both Saturday and Sundays, if he can make it.
Well, thank you,
Charlie. Look forward to having you, brother.
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait. The Crystal Voyage is conveniently located right off 38th Avenue, right next to the Tacoma Mall on Cedar Street in Tacoma. It's only about maybe about 30, 40 minutes south of Seattle, and I consider it, it's not a bookstore, really. It's more like a spiritual center. As soon as you walk in, you feel all this beautiful love and positive energy coming from a Buddhist statue, and they've got water fountains right at the door, and it's the only place that I know of in this area with such a wonderful atmosphere, and it's a very special place, and I hope you can come either tomorrow from 10 to 7 or on Sunday from 12 noon to 5 p.m., and I will be there. Thanks, Charlie. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. With that, I'd like to go to my good friend Simon Parks in England. And Simon's a fascinating fellow. He's actually been a politician. He's been in touch with extraterrestrials for his whole life. And Simon, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ted.
You sound like you're right next door, actually, thanks to this modern technology.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm really pleased.
Well, most of my listeners know about you, Simon, but for those who don't, Simon's a fascinating fellow. He says his soul, both of his parents were in British intelligence, as well as his grandfather, and they also did some work for the American Central Intelligence Agency and NSA. Simon's a fascinating fellow. He says his soul is one-third human, one-third mantis, which is benevolent mantis, and one-third reptilian, but he chose to ally himself with the benevolent side of his soul and do good things. And that's what Simon does now. And Simon, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Ted. I'm very pleased to be back on your show, have the chance to talk to your wonderful listeners.
Oh.
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good, good, good. I could probably sit here and easily talk for the next 2 hours about your background, but I'm going to skip that today because I'd rather hear what you have to say because I do enjoy you, Simon. You're one of my favorite people to have on the show. And if you could also give out your website, too, so people could learn more about you and perhaps schedule a reading with you, too.
Yes, that would be lovely. Thank you for those kind words, Ted. That's very kind of you. It's simonparks.org. That's the website, simonparks.org. And, delighted to have as many people come visit as possible.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well,
okay. Yeah. Shall I just give a quick update, Ted?
Yeah, please. That would be wonderful. And also, too, just really quick, Simon has not paid me to say this, but he does wonderful work. He gave me an incredible reading a couple of months ago. And also, too, he helped some friends out in Florida where this elderly, a very sweet lady in Florida had a negative entity in her. And Simon laid out the reasons and helped her get rid of it. So the family can't thank you enough, Simon, for the work you do.
Well, that's really kind. That's great. You know what? I get some feedback, but you just sort of go from one case to the next, and and when you get some feedback that it was beneficial and helpful, then that's really good news, and I'm really pleased. And this is it, you know, when I connect with a client, I really don't know who they are or who they know. That's really fabulous. Thank you for passing that information back.
Well, the entity's gone, and it's been with her for for years. And she's finally, the family now tells me, Simon, that she's living a normal life now. She laughs, she goes to movies, she goes out to restaurants. Before, she was afraid of everything. And sometimes she would break into a man's voice with a lower voice because she had this crazy entity in her. But the entity's gone now. And the family thanks you so much, Simon, for your good work. Because without you,
I'm really pleased. obviously we won't talk about the case individually, but I think what I will say is that many of my American clients have very similar situations to the lady you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really criminal, and I use that word, is that so many of these people pick up these attachments through using a Ouija board, and the system, the establishment, pushes these things. So you're at high school or you're a kid, and then it's seen as a bit of fun, a bit of a joke.
Right.
And I want to just take a couple of minutes, Ted, because of, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but I think we should just go here.
Sure.
I want to warn people about a Ouija board. For those who perhaps know their Greek mythology, there was a story of the Trojan horse. And for those of you who don't, this was a great big hollowed out wooden horse that was built, and they filled it full of soldiers. And then the opposing camp wheeled this horse, it was on wheels, into their camp. And then at midnight, they opened the trap door and came out of this hollow horse and captured the castle. Now, the Ouija board is exactly the same thing.
Ah.
It was not created, well, the concept was not from this planet.
Oh, really?
The concept was given, yes. The concept was given to humans who then created it. Now, when you walk down the sidewalk and you see a nice shop, let's say it's Macy's. I don't think we should advertise, but maybe Macy's might start donating to you, Ted. let's say you see Macy's and it's a lovely window, really good. And you think, oh, I really like that. I'm going to go into this shop. Now, the Ouija board works the same way. It's the shop window. And when somebody who's very psychic comes within, I would say, between 3 feet and 6 feet of a Ouija board, you don't even have to touch it. It opens a portal. You don't see it open, but it, unless you're very gifted, but it opens a portal. And then these entities are stacked up like yellow cabs at a taxi stand.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one just comes straight through and it attaches to the most psychic person in the room. Now, these entities will lay dormant for 20 or 30 years.
Oh, wow.
This is phenomenal. 20 or 30 years. Now, they're like a chameleon. What they can do is change their energy frequency. They're the fourth dimensional just. They sit between the third and the fourth dimension. And technically, we would describe them as interdimensional entities because they sit between the third and the fourth. But they're more fourth than third. And they are like a chameleon because they can change their energy frequency to match that of a person. So if you went to a healer, the healer might scan you and they might not detect it because it appears just to be part of you. And then for things that I don't understand, at some point they activate and they start making that person's life an absolute misery.
Oh, wow.
Deep growling from the stomach, a woman speaking in a man's voice, these are all classic signs. So I just wanted to warn people, please, please, please don't go near a Ouija board. And if you have one, burn it. Anyway, that was quite impromptu. Can I give some news out? Is that all right?
Yeah, I just want to say real quick that I met a lady, oh man, it must have been about 15, 20 years ago, who'd used Ouija boards when she was a small girl.
Okay.
And then she became an adult, and she had this entity in her. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it was not a good one either, not a good entity.
Well, I say to people, Ted, look, on the positive side, you must be incredibly psychic. Otherwise, these things wouldn't attach to you. They want that high energy, that special energy. So for those people who have got them, it is simply because of that. Now, on the bad side, every black magician on this planet has one in him.
Really?
These guys cannot manifest magic in this reality unless they contain one of these entities.
Ah.
Because this is the deal, excuse me, this is the deal that the entity gets a ride. It uses a human body like a motel, and it gets to exist in a human form, you know, through the person, but it gives magic or it gives energy to that magician who then can use that to create. So when we think of that particular film called Peter Pan, there was a character in Peter Pan called Tinkerbell, and that is a djinn. That is one of the demons. And if anyone's listening to this and you have a boyfriend, and you're very concerned about your boyfriend because maybe he practices magic and he refers to you by a pet name and calls you Tink, then I suggest you get in touch with me quite quickly, because black magicians will call women who they have put one of these demons in, they'll call them Tink as a bit of a joke.
It's a
really huge subject, and we haven't got time, but I just thought as you brought that up, we would just go there.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I think there's a lot of people actually in that situation, and so I think the spirits were guided by higher forces to tell people about that, which is good. So, And this studio just lit up in this beautiful white light when you said that. So thank you.
Oh, that's so nice. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice, Ted.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to say that what really saddens me is that the established media in the United States are very, very good at not telling the truth, or at least they're very, very good at not giving out anything that's worthwhile.
Right.
And, you know, there's some very serious situations going on with, Vietnam, the North. And I do fear that unless something quite miraculous occurs, there could well be some form of military action fairly soon. So, you know, I want your listeners to try and see as much news as they can and try and, you know, balance it by looking at people like Fox and CNN, but then look on what's called the alternative news, what I call the truthful news, and try and get a full picture of what's going on, because it's actually very serious, people are not really being told just what's going on at the moment. So please keep an eye on that, ladies and gentlemen, just to check, because there is a real reason why certain aspects of the United States military would like to have an attack into North Vietnam.
You mean North Korea?
Yeah, I mean North Korea. Beg your pardon. Yes, I'm still thinking back to the days of Nixon and. There's a reason for that, because he was the first guy who started to put two and two together with that. There's the amount of gold that is hidden in North Korea. It's quite a huge gold reserve, and if a deal can be struck with China, that's between America and China as to what can and can't happen. If China gives the green light, then there will be some form of attack. The US will launch some sort of attack on North Korea, but they're really after the gold that's hidden in the caves. There are a number of caves up there, and there are lots of gold, which is ex-Chinese gold, and has been shipped around Asia for quite a lot. So I know we all have busy lives, but please ladies and gentlemen, please just keep an eye on that, because that's quite important. So that's really what I wanted to say, because that's quite imminent. And I don't know, what else would we like to talk about, Ted? What's interesting?
Well, I know that the vibrations of the planet Simon have been dramatically going up for tens of thousands of years. What's called the Schumann resonance was at 7.8 hertz. Then it almost doubled to 13.8 hertz last September. Christmas time went up to 36 hertz, then January went to 40. A couple of months ago was 120 hertz. I visited a psychic a few months ago, and he hypnotized me, and then I asked him to bring me 2 years in the future, and he said by that time it had gone to 800 hertz.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, and he said that and at that point I saw the, within two or three years of this year, I saw the Chinese government collapsing. Because that kind of negative government will not be able to withstand these positive energy changes coming through, and the people rise up and get rid of it and replace it with something better.
Well, that's very interesting. That really is interesting. Many people on the planet who are sensitive and sort of aware of what's going on are finding their lives disrupted in terms of their sleep pattern. Many people are changing what they eat. Many people are giving up meat or reducing the amount of meat they eat. There's a huge change, which I think, because everyone lives individual lives, we don't really share as much as we could. But if you were to put everyone into a room, you would find that this is a, a planet-wide phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be positive. And I know that in the short term, people are a bit fractious because, you know, they feel a bit burnt out. But this is part of the natural development. All planets go through an evolution, and it's our planet's turn to do that evolution. And we're very blessed that the planet loves us. Mm-hmm. It hasn't forgotten the covenant that the humans made with the planet Earth a very long time ago. It doesn't see us as fleas on its back. Mm-hmm. It sees us as part and parcel of itself. And so it wants to ascend, and it wants to take its living creatures with it. And this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And, you know, it cannot be stopped. It's going to happen. But what the negative forces are doing is dragging the process out. Mm. So they can't stop it, but they can delay it. And it's this delay which is so frustrating for many of us.
Right.
But yes, I absolutely agree. And I didn't know about the 800. But what you said, Ted, makes perfect sense. Because if you are a government that rules without the will of the people, and you are used to lying and trickery, there comes a point when this resonance goes so high that people can see through it. It's
right.
A bit like, you know, Dorothy, when the curtain was pulled back, the Wizard of Oz was just a tiny little man.
Right.
And that's really what all these bad people are. They're just nothing, just nothing.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And also, too, what I was thinking after I got that message, and actually I'll be seeing him tomorrow. I'm going to a psychic fair. The other message I got, too, is for the Tibetans, they will finally get the freedom that was taken away from them by the Chinese back in 1959 when they came over and forcibly took over the country.
Well, now.
So that'll be different.
It will. And what I hope then is that some of the teachings and learnings will then filter through across to the West, because what China's done is it's really sealed it all up so that the teachings and the learnings don't come through. But if it was more of an open border and there was a more of an exchange of ideas, then I think we in the West could learn a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to tell you, here in the United States, our mass media is like 24/7. They've been on and on about this Russia investigation with respect to President Trump. And yet there's been reports here that there's no basis for it, in fact. But yet the mass media here devotes about 99% of its time. I consider a big waste of time on that. I know that CNN's ratings have now dropped so low that there's a cartoon channel called Nick at Night that actually has more viewers than CNN does. And its ratings have dropped down to 13th, I think. That's what I heard about a month ago. But anyway, what's it like in Britain? Do you get the same kind of coverage that we do here? Because I don't know way of have any way of telling.
No. What happens is that you can tell when somebody in the negative elite is pulling the strings, because then there will be a news item in Great Britain which will play up the stories about Russian espionage or Russian tricks, and then we'll go 2 weeks and hear absolutely nothing, and then obviously somebody then pulls a string and again they'll rehash the story.
Sure.
The point is that I've never said that President Trump was a good man. I never said that. But what I always said was that for the American people, he was the best bet on the table at the time. You know what? I would rather have a friendly relationship with the second most powerfulest country in the world, I mean Russia, than a negative one.
Right.
I would much rather that I was in a position to pick up a telephone and speak to President Putin and say, we've got a problem here, etc., etc. Isn't it better to have that environment rather than what your established newspapers and news reels are doing, which is trying to create so much animosity that the two world leaders can't talk to each other? You know, that's why the hotline was put in originally, the red phone, because it was realized that you could get a nuclear war unless people talk. So, you know, whatever President Trump is or isn't, the very fact that he's got a dialogue with President Putin seems to me wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, here are two countries that point nuclear weapons at each other, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Isn't it better that they're talking? So rather than wasting time with basically most of this is nonsensical anyway.
Right.
It would be much better to talk about trade deals. It would mm-hmm. be much better to talk about, you know, how the two countries can work together. The difficulty is, I'm not going to get partisan or political here, mm-hmm. but when one faction, it's not just the Democrats, it was one particular faction of the Democrats, the Clinton gang, mm-hmm. when they lost the election, they never accepted they'd lost. Mm. Now, that's the point. They never, in Great Britain and in America generally, what happens is you say the will of the people has decided, mm-hmm. and the will of the people, I respect the will of the people. Right. But what's going on here is that somebody doesn't respect the will of the American people. Mm-hmm. Right or wrong, doesn't matter. The American people voted democratically, and this is what they got. But there are individuals who are trying to undermine President Trump. Now, mm-hmm. That's not acceptable, because they are undermining the will of the people. The people voted mm-hmm. for John F. Kennedy,
right.
and they murdered him. So they didn't just murder John F. Kennedy. They murdered the American Constitution, because this was what people wanted. And this is what we're seeing, established media dancing because somebody is pulling their strings.
I had a wonderful psychic named Judy Kelly on my show about 3 weeks ago from Los Angeles. She channeled Jack Kennedy, and President uh-huh. Kennedy said, "Yeah, he said the same thing you did just now. He said during his administration there were lots of people who disagreed with his actions, and he's not asking, in the same light, President Kennedy said he's not asking everybody to agree with President Trump with what he does, because I have disagreements with him too, but on the other hand, please send him lots of good positive energy to help him make the best decisions for the country and the planet, just yeah. like what you said now, instead of trying to."
Yeah, I suppose because I've been a politician, you know, mm-hmm. I've been a politician, and so I know how terribly difficult it is mm-hmm. to balance mm-hmm. decisions.
Sure.
If you're a good man or a good woman, what you do is you say, well, never mind what I want, mm-hmm. what's good for the people?
Sure.
Difficulty is most of these lawmakers don't do that. Most of these lawmakers say, what do I want?
Right.
And that's where the problems arise. And mm-hmm. They don't bother to ask people what they want. Mm-hmm. And this is where you get the difficult situations. So, you know, yeah, I think that the other thing I wanted to say, and I have spoken it on my radio show, that there will be an attempt to, it will not be successful, but they're looking like an attempt to try to assassinate President Trump in October.
Oh, really?
I've had a good clear view of this. Uh-huh. It's not going to be successful. And I went public with this on my radio show and on my website. Yes, I did put it on my website mm-hmm. because I wanted whoever the bad guys are to know that the story's out.
Good.
So they better not. It's not worth their while doing it. And, you know, that tells me everything, that they really can't control Trump. And because they can't control him, they want to get rid of him. Right. So it won't be successful. And the other reason I wanted to go public with it was mm-hmm. I don't have a hotline to your president, but I know there are people around him who look at my website. I've been told that. Uh-huh. So by doing that and listen to the fortnightly radio show, someone in the White House listens to it. I think they listen to other shows as well. It's not just mine. And so I wanted that message to go out there so that he needs to make sure he's got lots of bodyguards around him during the month of October.
Sure, sure. What is that old saying, Simon? Forewarned is forearmed.
Forearmed, yes.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Do you know, just change the subject slightly. Yeah. What amazes me is that there's so many sayings in your country and my country are mm-hmm. the same. And after, I don't know, when did you chuck us out? 1776, was it?
Well, hold on.
Tea and taxes.
Yeah, let me meditate. Let me bring in Benjamin Franklin. Ben, I talked to him last month. Let me see. Yeah, he said 1776, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tea and taxes, yeah. The two T's.
Well,
yeah.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? We still share so many of the yeah. phrases and the words that yeah. were yeah. existent in this country and yeah. your country before yeah. we got thrown out.
Yeah.
And so, although you guys have so many... I've got some wonderful sayings I've learned from talking to you guys. Somebody who never buys anything, you call a tire kicker or a wheel kicker. It comes from car sales, where someone kicks a tire but never buys it.
Oh, yeah.
And someone from the deep south said to me that they were like a pool table. They were as green as a pool table and just as square. Huh. So there are phrases that you guys use which we've never heard of, but there are some that have survived the test of time all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Great Britain and the United States of America are very close. There's an energy connection between our two countries.
That's true.
Yes, we speak the same language.
That's right.
But there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said on my radio show that the most important country in the world is the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And the second most important country in the world is Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said was the United States is the physical place where the physical action is going to take place. And Great Britain is the magical isle. It's where the intent and the underlying currents take place. So, you know, I'm always delighted when I meet Americans, and you know, I get on very well with them.
Oh, good. I do the same. you have a beautiful country, Simon, and I'm always so happy to talk to you and have you on my show.
Thank you. Very kind.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you this. A few months ago, when we last spoke on my show, you talked about with Wynn, our good friend Wynn Keach. About a possible economic downturn this fall.
I think Wynn is due on after me, isn't he?
I was hoping we could have him on. I'd love to have him on to talk about his Ferrex system.
He's standing by anyway, so when I'm finished, you could perhaps do 5 minutes with him. I'm happy just to take 5 minutes, cut out of my time, and you can just have 5 minutes with him.
All right. Well, let's see. I think I've got his...
I just call him up. It's okay. He's standing by. Could you bring him straight in?
Could you bring him straight on yours? Okay, that'd be good.
Yeah, of course
okay.
I can.
Okay, thanks, Simon.
But I'll talk about the point that you were saying.
There
have been three separate current CIA operatives who I understand. I haven't spoken to them, but I understand have all on their own very advanced software computers have modeled. And they're predicting an economic situation in October. Now, that's really interesting because I and other commentators for the last 5 to 6 years, I've been saying this for 5 to 6 years, that this October, October 2017, so the fall of this year, could see quite a serious economic downturn.
Mm.
Now, I'm on record of 5 or 6 years saying this, and there have been other people as well. That's really interesting that some of the intelligence services now are also saying that.
Mm.
So in my country, we've got our major newspapers who have been covering this since January.
Mm-hmm.
They've been telling the British people to expect a 1929 Wall Street crash.
Wow.
Look-alike in October.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that nobody wants to be the person who publicly says this in case it happens, because then they will be blamed for it. So in your country, in the wonderful United States, they all know it. I know they know it, but nobody wants to tell the truth because they're frightened. They'll be the one who will be blamed and said, you created the downturn, you created the crash.
Okay.
So every major bank in the United States knows about this. Now, quickly just finish, because I know Europe isn't a big interest to America, but we have what we call the European Central Bank. It's the bank that controls all of the European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they are asking individual country governments to do away with the protection scheme. Protection scheme is that you can have possibly up to, say, $80,000 in your bank in a European country.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an economic downturn, there's a crash, that money is protected. So you will get that money back.
Mm-hmm.
And what the European Central Bank is asking is to take that protection away.
Oh, wow.
So that whatever money you've got, they want to take it.
Wow.
Now, that tells me that they know something really heavy is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'm not going to go back on my statement. I actually think we've got a potentially difficult time in the fall.
Well, I'm not a doom and gloomer, as you know. I'm perpetually positive.
Sure.
But it's always nice to get, when you've been saying it, Cliff High's been saying that,
Yes.
Other very accurate psychics in the past have also told me the same thing. So my ears have perked up on that. And it's now August. And if you could bring in your friend Wynne Keach now, I'd like to talk to Wynne for about 5 minutes.
I will do. I will bring the John Chap in.
Okay, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's see. And if you have any transmission difficulties, we could bring him try to bring him on this end too.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be fine.
Okay, wonderful.
I'm just calling him now.
All right, good. Thank you. Thank you, Simon, so much.
Well, it's a pleasure.
So much. By the way, how are your cats doing?
Not so good. We had an attack that was aimed at one of the cats. But perhaps I'll leave that for another day.
Well, would you like me to ask all my listeners to send lots of love and light to your cats to help them feel
better?
I
would love that. Okay. That would be really, really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, friends, if you could please send lots of love and light to Simon's cats. They're not having a real good day. How many cats do you have, Simon?
I've got 9.
That's all?
Now, when I say 9, uh-huh. I don't mean the German 9. I mean the British 9.
Oh, the British 9, yes, of course, yes. The English 9. Well, good.
But I'm calling him, but he doesn't seem to be there. I've just sent him a message on.
I'm here, Simon. I'm here.
Oh,
there
fantastic.
He is. Hi, Wynne. Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Ted. Well, I'm one of those people I listen rather than talk.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
That's not true.
I talk when asked.
Right. I'm going to drop out, Ted, and leave you with my very special friend, Wynne.
Okay, any final words you'd like to say, Simon?
Just I love you very much, Ted. I love the American people. I want you to all stay strong, keep a level head, keep calm, and just talk to each other, support each other, because the positive end is not far away. It's going to be good, and we've got nothing to fear.
Wonderful. Well, we love you too, Simon. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Okay, take care.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Thanks. Wynne, are you there?
I am indeed, Ted, and it's wonderful to be back on.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad you're here. Now, you have an interesting background, don't you? And if you could tell my listeners a little bit about your background and how you got to be doing what you're doing today and your new Ferex system, too. In 25 words or less, please.
Yes, I think I've been on what they refer to as the 20-year fool's journey.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which I think has recently come to a focus.
Okay.
Yes, I started out as Mr. Left Brain. I ran away with the circus from the sixth form, or I don't know what you call that in the States, but just before university, I ran away with the Air Force and fought in the Falklands War.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah. I volunteered for it. I was a pilot. Mm-hmm. I was a trainee pilot, and I was consequently in the Air Force for a little while, and I left there to go to work in aerospace. Mm-hmm. And I worked on military and civil engine design, and became a specialist working at Rolls-Royce designing aircraft engines.
Wow.
And I left that to go and stand in the Gulf while the Gulf War was on as a cryogenics engineer in the middle of a desert.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was different, very different.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very hot. And,
very hot. It was actually 60 degrees in the shade where I was working at the time.
Oh, wow.
Which is hot enough to make the oxygen in your blood boil.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty serious. Mm-hmm. And, by a tortuous route, this led me into two things when I got back to England. One was I got involved in crop circles, which caused me to spiritually advance as I pursued the consciousness that was creating the ones that I was tracking.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed me from Mr. Left Brain to Mr. Balanced.
Mm-hmm.
and a bit of right brain.
That's good.
So my creativity kind of exploded at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And also I completed this, what turned out to be a multi-factor key exchange process with the crop circles, with a convergence of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's the consciousness of the planet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a wake-up call. That's what it turned out to be. It was kind of an alarm call we'd set ourselves to allow the overtone frequency that you were actually talking about, the frequency that upgraded the Schumann resonance,
mm-hmm.
was actually, that was what it was about. It was like a setting an alarm clock to wake up and say, wait a minute, this is the point in our history where things are looking a bit bleak and we need to have a higher level of consciousness. So we need to activate it. And that's exactly what happened. That happened in 2010 in the summer. Mm-hmm. And that was the trigger for the kind of division in human consciousness and the evolution process that came into action in December 2012.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And that's what triggered the doubling of the Schumann resonance frequency. And the last crop circle of that sequence I saw was called the egg slicer.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually represents the frequency doubling of the consciousness frequency.
Beautiful.
Overlaying this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite interesting. But this triggered me to become a professional innovator, which is what I've now done for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I started out with something that everybody knows. It's quite annoying, really, because everywhere I go, I see it. And I'm probably the only person who didn't make any money out of it. And that is the PIN processes that go on your credit and debit cards and your mm-hmm. computer logins to mm-hmm. your bank accounts. So that was me. I invented that not to make money. I invented that to prevent people putting microchips in your arm as a biometric alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And that was now nearly 25 years ago I did
wow.
that.
Wow.
And which bought us 25 years of freedom of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the start of it. And then having spent some more years than I wanted to do in computer security, I then went into renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then the inventor, designer, and developer of the Ridgeblade wind turbine, which is the mm-hmm. only truly eco-friendly wind turbine in the world. It's a micro turbine that goes along the ridge of your house, specifically designed not to harm bats, birds, or insects.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely silent, practically invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And one Ridgeblade unit can provide half the power for your house. So it's just that sort of thing, really. So I've been on this process of not only being increasingly creative, but also stretching myself to spiritually advance and clear, the earlier kind of blocks to my view when I was sure. younger. I mean, when I was in the military, viewed of. Mm-hmm. strapped an A-bomb to my ass and said, go over there and upset somebody's day,
sure.
I would do it with complete professionalism
sure.
without a second thought. But well, now I won't even kill the mice in my house.
Oh, wow.
That's
sure.
how far we've come.
Well, yeah? well, when I know that you and Simon were on my show a few months ago, and Simon and I were just talking about it now, and I'd love your viewpoint there's been talk of an economic downturn this fall. I'd love your thoughts on that. And also how your Ferrex system might work in such a situation if instead of the current monetary systems.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, everything points to a downturn in late October this year.
Okay.
All the financial indicators point that way. Even the financial press is now coming out and saying this. So it definitely looks as though there will be some sort of value reset in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Largely, if nothing else, it will simply reset the amount that's been added by the Trump presidency, and it will reset to a more appropriate level, to a more realistic valuation of the stocks. But the problem is that the way the world is now organized with high frequency trading and computerized trading systems means that when a significant percentage of the stock market value is lost, they accentuate it by automatically trading at very high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So even if somebody woke up one day and said, wait a minute, these stocks are 10% overvalued, the overcompensation by the computer systems that everybody's running to make that extra dime on the trade of the day will accentuate it, and that will add an extra 20 or 30% to that. So in some measure, potentially there is the capability of creating a problem of their own design there. That's simply the way the system works.
Well, back in 2008, when there was an economic downturn here in the United States, when the response of the administration, our government here, was to bail out these banks with the promise that the banks would somehow trickle down the money to consumers, but nobody ever saw the money. The banks just took it and patted.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and just patted their pockets. So same old story. But I can see if there's a, let's say, for example, this fall, there's a dramatic decrease in the value of the dollar. Let's say Cliff High, for example, has said there's he has forecasted he's forecasted win a 25-30% decrease in the value of the dollar by the end of October, with corresponding dramatic increases in silver, gold, and with that kind of downturn, how would your Farex system works? And we've got about 6 minutes left of the program, so I just wanted to tell you that. So kind of parameters.
Okay. Yes, well, you only have to look to precedents in history to see how it works. The central premise to Farex is, of course, that it facilitates barter trade, and it has its own internal anti-inflationary currency.
Okay.
Now, whenever there's been a downturn in markets, and these go back a long way, the first derivative stock market crash of sorts, or derivative economic crash, was actually in 1340 in Vienna. That was based on gold trading, strangely enough. It was the Venetian traders cornering the gold market and manipulating government gold stocks.
Wow.
And that led to a downturn which was short and sharp, largely because they were funding Genghis Khan to come in off the out of Mongolia and cause upset in countries.
You're kidding.
That's what they're doing. So they could weaken the countries economically so that they could buy the countries out. Well, you know, nothing changes. Nothing changes, okay?
That's incredible.
So that actually caused a downturn which created a famine in Europe for a few years, which actually killed more people than the Black Death did in 1365, came afterwards.
Oh my God.
So these things are, you know, these things really do impact people.
Sure.
Now, Farex has two things. Whenever these things happen, two things happen. People turn to an alternative currency and they turn to barter trade.
Okay.
And if you do that, then there is no problem. And a good example to look at would be Brazil in the early 1990s.
Okay.
Their economy suddenly crashed because the government decided to create a new capital and printed a lot of money to fund it, which caused hyperinflation in the country, broke the economy of Brazil.
Wow.
And they were looking at 80% inflation per month.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So that would mean that if you bought, say, a dozen eggs for the equivalent of $1 on day one, at the end of the month, those same eggs would cost you $2.
Wow.
And if it carried on in that fashion, which it did for 2 years, then at the end of the year, that dozen eggs would cost you just over $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that's how inflation works, and it takes the value out of a currency. But the thing is that currencies are generally based on the value that people place on them, i.e. the trust that people put in them.
Sure.
So they had a double problem of people not trusting the currency and inflation robbing the value of everything that was in the country.
We've got about 2 minutes left, and
I'll better talk quickly.
And also, if you could mention Ireland, what happened with the banks in Ireland, and it worked fine without banks.
Same thing. Yeah, I'll talk very quickly then. So what actually happened in Brazil was that after a succession of governments that failed to do anything about it because they'd no idea, four economists who basically drank beer at the university in Rio came forwards and came up with a solution, which was a notional, actual virtual anti-inflationary currency. It was a currency that just didn't change value, and so they allowed trades to be carried out in that, in paying bills, paying wages. And people didn't understand how it works, but all they knew was that the value didn't change week in week. So eventually the external currency that had been there previously just inflated itself into oblivion, but nobody cared because everybody was trading with the new currency.
Interesting.
And then the government switched to the new currency and then actually started printing the notes and printing the coins, etc. And then it became the currency of Brazil, and that recovered their economy to the point it became the dominant economy in the Southern Hemisphere. It recovered so quickly.
We've got about it.
That's the real. It was called the universal real currency.
Wow.
And so they renamed it the real. Same thing happened in Ireland when the bankers went on strike in 1970. Then all the banks shut and they thought the whole country would come to a halt. But no, everybody just wrote IOUs on bits of paper and swapped them down the pub. And that was actually more successful than the banking system that was there before. So there are alternatives. It's just detaching from the fear of a system that's coming to a natural reset.
Maybe one of the best things that that the United States could do would be to shut down all the banks here in the United States and replace them with a barter system where people would write scraps of piece of paper at pubs. And because
the debt of your country is in dollars. So the answer is have an alternative currency, then you have no debt.
That's funny. Well, Wynn, thank you so much. And for more information, please go to Simon Parkes' website, simonparkes.org. And Wynn, thank you so much for coming on today. I always enjoy talking to you. Please stay tuned to our next hour. We'll be doing some prayers for Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Thank you so much, Wynn, for coming on.